Well, I'd like to welcome everyone today, and that includes our guests that are tuning in even now on the World Wide Web. I was informed this morning we are not only streaming on Facebook, but we are streaming on YouTube and two other places I couldn't tell you. So we're out there at four different places now. So welcome. God bless you, and I pray that God's word would bless you and you would be changed by it. Let us have a word of prayer as we begin. Father God, we thank you for the word that you give us because your word is truth. And in this truth, Lord, there is the key of unlocking hope and glory. And Lord, that glory and hope is you. So may we find you to the full measure, and may we understand that you're not the one who has to change. It's each and every one of us, from our sinful selves to the glory of ever-increasing glory of thy knowing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today, we're going to be looking at our second set of one another's that are in the New Testament. Last week, as Brother David taught, he was actually teaching the end of all of this, and I'm going to refer to that a little bit later, and definitely next week, how God, once we go through the I Am's, which we did through Lent, this is actually going to be a series that we're going to put together. It's going to be a 11-week series that we're going to be putting together and offering out there to anybody that would like to have it. Because as you look at the I Am's of Christ, you begin to build a personal relationship with him. I am the Word. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the bread of life. I am the gate, the shepherd. And he goes on. Each of those is a personal way for him to come into our lives for us to get to know him. And then once we know him, we begin to understand how the one another's begin to play a part in who we are, because Christ calls us into that relationship, not only with him, because the first commandment God gave is, or the first commandment Christ gave is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might. And the second is like it. And that's where we are now. Because when we accept the I Am and we love him, that love moves over into loving one another. And we find that not only working in love, but working in unity. That was the first group of one another's, unity. Now we're in love. And next week, we will do humility. How many of us like humility? Okay, in the world's term of humility, it means to be embarrassed, to be put down, right? But to walk in humility before the Lord is a good thing. For when we lower ourselves, God does what? We just learned this today. He raises us up. Isn't it amazing how our discipleship stuff falls right into where we are? And I just love it because God's word confirms God's word. And that is our living, loving God. He wants us to know he's right here concerning us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So we're going to look at the list. Now, for those of you who are out there on the internet, you do not have the list, but I think Brother Pete is going to be putting that up for you, that you'll each get to see these verses as we go through them. So as Pete is loading up the first one there, which is John 13 and 34, you're going to notice these first three that are given out of the book of John, they're the first three one another's of the New Testament. Now I'm going to give them, and I'm going to do a little bit of commentary and some preaching as we go through them, but I'm not going to preach on every one of them because we would be here for 4 hours or more. Okay, I told Bill and Alida outside, if you ask me to talk, I can talk for 2 hours. Give me a subject, we're going to be here for a while. So when we look at this, this is a subject because Jesus says here in John 13, 34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. The second one is very much like it. Again, he says from John 15 and 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And the third is primarily the same. 15 and 17 in the book of John. This is my command, love each other. Now I'm going to stop there for just a moment. If the Bible says something once, it's important. Okay? God does not mince words. If he's telling us something, he wants us to know something. If he tells it to us twice, it's really important. But if he tells it to us three or more times, it is extremely important. Yes. It's, in other words, he's saying, get this, get this, get this. So he's telling us all the commandments that came before this. Now there's a new command. The reality is there's not a new command, and we're going to see that. Because when we love one another, if we love God, which is his first command, and we love one another, we have summed up the entirety of the law. That is all the other commandments. And that so amazes me, because when you look at how Israel went through their stuff, and we ourselves as the church, you know, we say, oh, we love everybody, come, come. And then we put all these rules and regulations in front of them. Why do we do that? Did God put them in front of us? He said, come. Nothing else. One word. Because the rest of it then is up to him. Amen? And that's where we need to let it. We need to let it with that one word. Come. Because I can't change you, and you certainly aren't going to change me. Because I won't let you. And none of us here have that feeling about ourselves, do we? But when we invite Christ to come, something miraculous happens. And that's the command that he's given us. Love each other. And it's so amazing, because when we accept that command, when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into us. True love comes into us. And something begins to happen. What begins to happen? This one, number four on your sheet, I want everybody to turn there in your Bibles. This is going to be the first one I'm going to preach on, because this one literally sets up the context for so much more that is yet to come. In the book of Romans, chapter 13. In the book of Romans, chapter 13. Now, in your paper, I started at Romans 13 and 8. And Brother Pete, if you have that up already, go back one verse and pick up verse 7, please. I should have told you that. And because that's where we're going to begin, in verse 7. Because I need us to understand why he says the first part in verse 8. He says, render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Again, I just stated that a few moments ago, and I want you to understand, Pastor doesn't make this stuff up. I don't have the words of life. Don't ever believe anything I tell you unless you check it out yourself. As Brother Bobby says, let us be as the Bereans of old. We need to check it out, because if this guy's not speaking truth, we need to get rid of him. Amen? Amen. Boy, I know where my days are numbered. And they are numbered, and God knows them. And I say amen to that. And it's my hope that I will understand this. When it says, let no debt be outstanding. In other words, what he's saying, what you owe to men, okay? Give it to them. Don't have compulsion over it. Give it to them, all right? The IRS, we just completed tax time, right? How many of us drug our feet until 11:59 on April 15th? All right? I think it's funny. I did that 1 year. I said I would never, ever, ever do it again. I was literally at the post office on April 15th putting my tax return in with about 150 million other people trying to get to, they're filling it out in the post office. We are to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. Okay? And in so doing, as we love everyone and we give in that manner, we do in that manner, we begin to fulfill the law. And in fulfilling the law, we are looking at who we really are. And we're going to see this when we get to the next scripture we're going to look up. And we're beginning to be changed from this world that says, mine, mine, mine. How many of you, what's that? There's a cartoon out there. It's a TV show, and the seagulls are running around. Mine, mine, mine. You know, if you got kids, you know what I'm talking about, okay? And that's the way our world runs around after everything. You know, mine, 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 grabbing it all up. And Jesus says, no. Mine. Now I give it to you. Give it away. Yes, dear brother.
I'm waiting for my postcard.
You're waiting for your postcard. Which one?
One from the government.
Oh, to do your taxes. That's what they promised. They haven't followed through, huh? The men with the cars and the sirens will probably come first, Ed. But that's the way our world is. They build us up, give us all these promises, and then let us down. And God says the church is not supposed to be like that. Give what you're supposed to give, and then love each other unconditionally. And in that love, that means to give of yourself, okay? And as we each give, God then says, now there's less of you, right? No, God fills us up and gives us even more to give away because he's giving from his eternal nature into our lives, into our hearts. And he will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. That's his word. He'll never disappoint us. He's always there to sustain us and keep us. He is our provision, our provider. He is our sustainer. Can I get an amen? And when we understand that that is all out of love, God is love. He has no other want nor desire than to love his people. He wants the same relationship with us that he had with Adam and Eve at the beginning. And that comes through the restorative process of Jesus Christ. As Brother David taught us last week, that the first two portions of the reconciliation of all things has already begun. That's why the end had to become in the middle of all this stuff, so you would understand where we are when we talk about loving one another. Because without Christ reconciling us and reconstituting all things back unto God, the very first thing that was broken was what? Our relationship with God. And that's what the first commandment is all about, that we're finally able to love God because sin is no longer counted against us. And then the second command, because the second thing we broke was the relationship between each other. When Adam stood there and pointed the finger at Eve, well, Eve couldn't point the finger back, and she rightly should have because it was Adam's job to protect her, but she pointed the finger at the serpent. So we broke communion, not only with God, but with one another in every sense. And in Christ Jesus, he reconciles all of that. He brings it all back into being because that is the fulfillment. He is the fulfillment of the law, right? So now his command is complete in us, in the Spirit of God. When we allow him in, he makes us right. And the first two reconciliations are begun. There's one more that has to be consummated, and that will not be consummated until the millennium. And then it's only partially, because the full consummation of all things comes when the age of eternity starts and sin is no more. But God moves on, talking to us about love. And he says from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you." Dee Dee, how easy is it for you to love the ugly person on the end of the street? The guy that stinks and really doesn't comb his hair? You know, is it easy just to walk up to that person and hug them and say, "Hey, I love you"? Or is that the kind of guy you're like, "Oh my gosh." And we go two streets over to go buy his house, right? Yeah. Just putting you on the spot because all of us are there, right? That's not how we're supposed to love. Not just for some, but for everyone. You know, I long for the day when the person with purple hair and more hardware on their face than Home Depot has in their boxes walks in the door. Because I don't care what they come looking like. I care who they leave looking like. That's what matters to me. From 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9, it says, "Now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another." That is amazing to me, because what that means is you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that? God has put in you the knowledge of love itself. You simply have to access it. How many of us have computers at home? How many of you have cell phones? Tablets, okay? It's kind of amazing. All this electronics doesn't do a darn bit of good if you don't know how to use it, does it? I can remember when we got our first VCR. How many of the people on the internet, you're all laughing. VCR, oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm that old. I had to employ my 5-year-old son at the time to hook it up. Because it was beyond me. He had it done in seconds. Because in school they use them all the time. They were teaching them this stuff. It's just the same way. If you don't know how to access the things on your phone, I have a smartphone. I swear I'm the dumbest person on earth because my phone is smarter than me. I went to the store, bought this phone. I said, "Where's the manual?" "Oh, there is no manual." I said, "No, you don't. I need a manual." "No, there is no manual." I said, "Wait a minute. What do you mean?" He said, "Well, it's a smartphone." I said, "And?" I said, "Does it tell me what to do?" "Well, no." I said, "Well, and I need a manual." "Oh, there is no manual. It's a smartphone." These young kids, they just don't get it. It's the same way with the world when it comes to the things of God. They just don't get it until they get him. And once we get him, oh my goodness, we're plugged in. We're wired. And guess what? It's user friendly. It's plug and play. That's my favorite type of software. Plug and play. But the amazing thing is we have to play it, don't we? We have to access him and allow him to access us. And in that conversation, do you hear the word? All of a sudden, we begin to realize God's been teaching us something since we were little kids. We just didn't understand what it was until now we can access the program. Now I can see what's going on. Oh, my goodness, look at that. That Excel spreadsheet just opened up wide. Holy cow. And we understand. Next one. From 1 Peter 1 and 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. This is one that I think the church really needs to express. This is one that sometimes scares me, because there is so much superficiality in our world that it is unreal. I mean, how often do you walk down the street and people will, you know, they'll wave at you, whatever, you know, oh, hi, hi. But if you tried to have a conversation with that person, what would they do? They keep walking, you know. We are so isolationalists, it's unbelievable. So when we look at this, this means that we need to get real with this. We're not supposed to be superficial when it comes to loving our fellow man. It needs to be a sincerity of heart, a sincerity of truth that, you know, and I think this is so funny. You know, pastors talk about this kind of stuff because, you know, we talk about all of the sheep out there and we say, man, I'll tell you, I got this one lady in my congregation. Don't ever ask her, how are you doing? Oh, yeah, really? Why? Because she's going to tell you. I think it's amazing because if I ask you, how are you doing, that's not a superficial question. I want you to tell me how you're doing because I want to be able to pray with you. I want to be able to walk with you. And that's the way we need to treat our world. We need to see the hurt in their hearts. God sees it, and many of us can see it. Amen? And sometimes him showing us that hurt, it's God's invitation to open a door into somebody's life. Now, I have to address a couple here, because sometimes we see it, but the person who needs it doesn't want to open the door. Am I right? But we just have to do what Jesus does, right? And keep knocking. Louder. Yeah, not just knocking. Sometimes we need to kick the door. Until they come around. You think about the parable of the guy who was out there at night and he was hollering at his neighbor's door, give me some bread, I got guests coming. I'm in bed already, get out of here. And the guy wouldn't leave, so he just went to bed, right? Nope, he finally gets up and gets him the bread. We got to be that same thing. In love, we are to be going after the lost sheep. How many of us would leave the 99 safe in the pasture and go after the one? Boy, we all know the cliches, but are we willing to do it? Are we willing to get out there and go after that one? It needs to be real. It needs to be sincere. Next one, 1 John 3. And that's why I said, give me a topic. I'm down to 13 minutes already. It says, 1 John 3:11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. What does that mean? From the first time Jesus started preaching, this is New Testament. From the first time Jesus started preaching, the very first things that he began to teach his disciples was to love one another. To love each other, to care for each other. That's what God gave Adam and Eve in the very beginning at the garden. He gave them an intimate relationship with each other. Adam was made, and Eve was made out of Adam to fulfill what was missing in him. That is a personal relationship, okay? And it began all the way back at the beginning, not just with Christ, but prior to his incarnation, because Jesus always has been, amen, and always will be, yeah, amen. So it is the message of God that we would love one another. Our world has it wrong. You are not an army of one, okay? You cannot do it alone. We have not been built in that manner. We all need people around us to help us get through. So as we go, let us make sure that there's someone on each side And if there's someone on each side of you, then there'll be someone on each side of them. And before we know it, we're all together. That's what the kingdom is going to be like. And we will be of one mind, one heart, one body. You know, it says in Scripture in the book of Revelation that when one stood up, they all stood up. When one sat, they all sat. I want you to think about that. You talk about choreography. That's choreography without rehearsal. Because the heart is so connected to God that we all think His thoughts. We all respond in His ways. What would our world look like if we loved people in that manner? Where would we be as a society? It's the message that we've heard from the beginning. And the next piece that I want us to look at in this one, I want you to open your Bibles to. Open up to 1 John. Open up to 1 John. We're in chapter 4. And I'm going to tell you all now, I'm making the second sermon out of this because I'm down to 10 minutes and I'll preach that long just on this. So Miss Sally, next week we're going to finish with love, okay? So we just went to 12 sermons in this series if you're watching on the internet. Because there's just too much here. I knew there was going to be, and after our meeting with the EA, I'm just too pumped up not to. It says, dear friends, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And by this love of God was manifested in us that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brothers also. Brothers and sisters, that is the greatest context of loving one another that I can give you. That is the full explanation of what it means in this command. How we apply it then goes out in so many different directions. And it's amazing to me just where it goes and how it flows through each and every one of us. When we understand that God is love. Now, is that the love that this world knows? Is that a physical, sexual love? No. It is so far beyond that that it cannot be comprehended by our world. and our world perverts it to be a sexual act, and it is not. It is something far greater than a sexual act, because it speaks of a level of commitment, trust, and expression that goes into the very core of each and every person it touches. Sexual intimacy only lasts for a time. I hate to tell you all this, we get old and things don't function the way they used to. And it dies. That's biology 101. Love never dies. Because love is something so much more. Love is a commitment. Love is an act of choosing that says, no matter what, this is where I'll be. Love says, and I want you to think about this, God is love. Love says, this is who I am. And if we are going to love, it's not an emotion, it's not a feeling. It is a character trait that must be employed and it must be learned. And the only place that we learn it is from God himself. And that's expressed here to us so wholly, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God chose to die on our behalf. He who is unkillable, okay, he's eternal. He cannot die. Chose to die, to become human as we are. Because in his divine state, he could not die. But to become fully human, he could die. Would he have died? No. Because he was sinless, he'd have lived forever. You all do understand that, right? But because he was in this world and in this very same flesh, he chose to die on our behalf. He allowed it to take place. He could have stopped it at any point in time. Now you and I, knowing that, how many of us would stop our death or hinder our death because we love life so much? We all do it. How many of us take drugs? And I don't mean the kind that get you high. I mean the ones that fix your body. We all do it because we want to live longer. Well, I tell you, in Christ Jesus, we will live forever. For the love of God sustains us, keeps us, holds us, and draws us ever forward unto eternity. It is our hope and glory. That's why the things of this world should mean nothing. And that's what this just spoke to us. That the things of this world shouldn't mean anything. But to love our fellow man in such a manner as to give of ourselves. Man, there's a perfect example of that right here today in our audience, these wonderful people that we celebrate and love because they have allowed God to touch them and teach them and use them. And folks, I see it in you as well. I could go down the line, okay, and say, oh man, this is where it is for each of you, because we do experience it differently. But the one thing we have to do is get it out there for others to see. We can't hold it in here. We've got to take it into the street. We've got to allow the world to know that I'm a Christian. You know, if you were put on trial, would there be enough evidence to prove that you were guilty of being a Christian? Above my front door, there's a wooden plaque. And that wooden plaque says, every time we go out the front door, it's right there. Remember who you are. Christian. A dear brother of mine, I sat, ate dinner with while I was down in North Carolina, Brother Terry Downing, ended every sermon for 25 years. That was his benediction for 25 years. Remember who you are, Christian. We we are Christ-like ones. I ask you today, will you love God enough to love your fellow man as God loves us? We're going to pray, but we're going to pick this up next week because we're going to look at just how that love that we've learned from the command is to look among the church. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this day and this love that we all now stand in. For Lord God, without it, we would have no hope. But in this love, we are changed from glory to ever-increasing glory. And your name is glorified, and we are changed. And Lord, the old is gone and the new has come, and we see the hurt in people's lives. Let us not fear, for love casts out fear. But let us dare to enter into the lives of those who are in need. Because, Lord God, that's what you did for us. Father, bless us and keep us, we pray thee, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.